Welcome back to Radio or Not. Nicole Sandler here with you on this Tuesday, the 21st of April. And the topic is, once again, torture. Yeah. I wasn't planning on talking about this today. I really wasn't. What I was going to do is talk about the case that's going to be heard by the Supreme Court today of the 13-year-old girl. Well, she's now 19. But she was 13 when her school decided to strip search her because they thought she might have ibuprofen on her person and be sharing it with her fellow students. God forbid. And as the parent of an almost 10-year-old, all I can tell you is if someone did that to my daughter, I'd go in there and I'd probably kill him. So we'll see what the Supreme Court says about this today. It should be a no-brainer that unless they have absolute evidence that kids are in danger of being hurt, you don't touch a child. You don't tell a child to strip, to take their clothes off so you could see if they have ibuprofen on their body hidden somewhere. You certainly don't do it without calling a parent first. All right, so we'll see. We'll maybe talk about that tomorrow, find out what the Supreme Court says about it if they do pass down a ruling today on that topic. But no. See, I woke up this morning. I had an early morning appointment. And because there's no radio to listen to in the morning here in South Florida any longer, I turn on MSNBC. Well, it's because that's what my TV is on since the night before, and it's no worse than any of the other morning television programs. But actually, I think it is. Joe Scarborough is just offensive to every sense I have. Now, last week, I was doing the show on Air America, and on Friday, it was the day after the torture memos were released, and I happened to catch a little bit of Morning Joe that morning and heard Scarborough just go ballistic on Obama for releasing these memos. Here's a taste of what Joe Scarborough said on Friday.
It's very troubling. You see, this happens all the time. It happened after Vietnam. We had the Church Commission. The CIA was treated like a bunch of outcasts, a bunch of cowboys for doing things that the government had asked them to do. And so they pulled back. And then 4 years later, we have the Iranian hostage crisis because we have no human intelligence. We only want to deal with really clean, good people.
So he's blaming the Iranian hostage crisis on the fact that the CIA was reeled in after doing things that were, not quite legal during Vietnam. He went on and on. I'm not going to play that whole thing. I actually posted it on the blog on Friday, so you can watch it should you choose to. The point I'm getting at here is that on Friday, he started this diatribe against Obama. It goes on for about 4 minutes or so for releasing these torture memos. Now, let's go to today. I wake up this morning. I had an early morning appointment. I flip the TV on, and there is Joe Scarborough and the utterly useless Mika Brzezinski, and joining them, Chris Matthews, who I usually don't like, but I got to tell you, in recent days, he's earning my respect an awful lot. So Chris Matthews is there. I guess he was already on talking about a new book he's got out. And the next guest, is Andrew Card, former George Bush Chief of Staff, White House Chief of Staff. So they start off talking about the fact that Dick Cheney has been speaking more since he's been out of office than he ever did while he was in office. But he yesterday said now that these torture memos were released, he wants other top secret memos released, ones that talk about what information they got from these people after they were tortured. And being ultra critical of President Obama. And Andrew Card was saying, no, Dick Cheney's not being critical of the president. After all, he's our president too. President Obama is our president too. No, we're not critical of him, just critical of some of his actions. So Joe Scarborough asked him, do you think, as Dick Cheney said, that we are less safe now than we were before President Obama took office?
I think some of his policies don't allow for the people that have to do the job of protecting us do the job. And I wish that he had listened a little more intently to the CIA directors, the current and the former, that suggested how to go about talking about all of this challenge of getting information from bad guys so you can better protect the country.
Andy, you know, after 9/11, we all on TV were wringing our hands.
All right, I'm going to stop it here because, all right, so that was Andrew Card, Andy. Now here's Joe Scarborough rationalizing, making excuses for this illegal activity, for torturing prisoners.
Protect the country.
Andy, you know, after 9/11, we all on TV were wringing our hands. How did this happen?
Oh, the 9/11 Commission spent the whole time.
We must never let this happen again, you know. We're going to have to deal with some dirty characters who won't have... How did it happen? And now here we are, 7 years later. We must clean our hands. We must be morally pure. We must never do this again.
Sure
that is what we are doing.
No,
yes.
They're looking back to try...
You know, what a... Sorry, dick he is. Yeah, he is. He's smarmy. Maybe that's the word for him. And again, Mika just, you know, she tries. She just doesn't have a clue.
Try and be stronger going forward.
No. How can you be stronger going forward when Al-Qaeda operatives can go on the internet this morning and know exactly what's going to happen to them when they're being interrogated? That's why you have intel committees to look privately at these things instead of giving your information to Osama bin Laden and Zawahiri and terrorists across the globe that make no mistake about it. Would kill you, would kill me, would kill our families, and kill everybody in Washington, D.C.
There's a billion people.
He is just the right-wing talking point spouter. See, they want to kill you and they want to kill your children, and you just told them what you're going to do when you interrogate them. Like they don't already know? Now here's Chris Matthews, once again, making more sense than he has in recent years.
Islamic world, a billion people, half them are men. Half those billion people know about our torture and humiliation of Arab men in Abu Ghraib. Every time these words like torture get out there in their newspapers, they're sitting in cafes in Cairo reading about how we torture Arab men. Which side are they going to be on?
Yeah.
Well, what side are they going to be on? Well, us or theirs? Well, the other bad guys.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, did you hear how Joe Scarborough reacted? Yeah. And sort of just tried to go on to the next thing, and Chris Matthews pulled him back. He's like, no, really. What side do you think they're on? And then the conversation continued. It's Andrew Card, Joe Scarborough, Chris Matthews, Mika trying to, yeah, I don't know, I guess trying to stick up for the same side that Chris Matthews is, but not being very effective at it. Anyway, so Scarborough gets snarky again, talking about transparency here. Talk about being sarcastic and just, ew. You know, it would be one thing if he wanted to make a point without being snide and sarcastic. Maybe that's what I take exception with.
The job of the president is to protect us.
This is Andrew Card.
Secrets are necessary in order to be able to protect us.
We need secrets. We have to have...
And here comes the oozing sarcasm out of Scarborough.
Transparency.
We need secrets.
Have to have transparency. Why don't we have transparency in how the Secret Service operates? Because after all, why are we hiding these secrets from the American people?
You know, Scarborough, nobody's saying that every... CIA operation has to be transparent. That's not the transparency that President Obama is calling for. What he is calling for is an end to torture, is an end to illegal activities on behalf of our government or government agencies operating outside of the law on behalf of us in our name and putting us in a more precarious situation in the world. That's what he's saying, Scarborough. He's not saying that every operation the CIA conducts has to be transparent. And I don't think he doesn't get it. I think he knows what he's saying. And I just think he's being sarcastic for the hell of being over the top and making trying to put Obama down, because that's what they do.
We need to know what the Secret Service is going to do today to protect the president.
Oh, come on.
What if something came out?
I want to know his entire schedule. I want to know everything.
And he goes on and on and on and on.
And
the only reason I'm letting this play out is because I want you to hear where he goes next.
Transparency versus the need for secrets in order to do the job as president.
But when the job was not done well, and when the rules were broken and laws were broken and people were tortured beyond beyond what the rules allowed, and people on the lower levels went wild because there was no leadership. Don't you take a closer look at it?
Whether it's the Secret Service. No leadership. What the hell are you talking about? We have not been attacked since September 11th. That's a failure to you. That is not a failure to me.
Okay, we have not been attacked since September 11th. This is their main talking point. Now, I got to tell you a little story of something that happened to me on November 5th. It was the day, obviously, after Barack Obama won the presidency, won the election. And I was the token liberal on a right-wing radio station down here in South Florida for the 2 weeks leading up to the election, election day, and the day after. So this was my last day there, November 5th. Dennis Miller does a show. He does a syndicated show, and he had come into town to do a concert for the radio station, for their listeners, you know, in return for them running his program. Now, talk about the biggest sellout on the planet. This guy, I guess he realized that there was more money to be made by being a right-wing pundit than speaking from a place of sensibility and, you know, common sense, yeah, like me. Anyway, so now he's Mr. Right-Winger. So Dennis Miller's in there, and he was going to do his show from the radio station studios that day, and then that night do a concert for the listeners. All right. So he sat in, came in to do a little bit on the morning show, do a quick interview. And I don't know. So he brought up something about that line again. We haven't been attacked since 9/11. Okay. Well, there's my opening, because anytime anyone says that to me, my standard comeback is, yeah, but we were attacked on 9/11. You had President Bush down in Crawford clearing brush from the ranch. Is that what they do on ranches? Anyway, who got a presidential daily briefing dated August 6, 2001, titled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in the U.S. And from everything I've been able to discern, he didn't do anything about it. He didn't never once from the time he took office in January 2001 through September 11th, 2001, even after getting this presidential daily brief and others that were similarly themed that said Bin Laden determined to strike in the U.S., never once convened a meeting of the terrorism task force, even though when the Obama administration took over from the Clinton administration, they were told in no uncertain terms, your biggest threat, terrorism, watch out, Bin Laden, bad guy. This is, you need to stay on top of this. I guess the Bush administration didn't think it was that important. So whenever I hear that standard talking point from those right-wingers like Dennis Miller, and by the way, this got very, very, very ugly. I guess I was only supposed to make nice to him and I wasn't supposed to challenge him on any issues. But again, I said, yeah, but we were hit on 9/11. We were hit on George Bush's watch, and he didn't do anything to stop it. All right, so Joe Scarborough is doing the same thing Dennis Miller did. And here's where I have to applaud Chris Matthews, because he said what I was screaming at the TV. You can watch the video of this segment from Morning Joe. I've got it posted on my blog today at radioornot.com. But here's where Chris Matthews earned back any respect that I lost for him during the election.
Let me ask you something I've always been curious about. The August 6th memorandum that went to the president, the daily briefing. He was down in Texas. He was at Crawford. He got a briefing.
Wait, are we switching subjects
now?
No,
9/11. The question of intelligence.
And listen to Joe Scarborough. Are we switching subjects now? And he keeps trying to stop him from asking this question. Unbelievable.
And said, how do we avoid another attack? We got a warning, Al-Qaeda to attack within the United States.
Wait
a minute.
Torture, the president,
now we're talking about intelligence.
We're not talking about.
Rather than letting him answer the question, Joe Scarborough is just arguing with Chris Matthews about, well, are you talking about torture? Are you talking about 9/11?
The president, now we're talking about intelligence.
We're not talking about
intelligence. I thought, I'm sorry, you're talking about intelligence, how we avoid getting hit again. Not how we torture people to death, but how we avoid getting hit again. That's what you're bragging about. All these years of knife, I'm asking about how we got hit the first time.
Thank you.
Why did the president get a memo that said,
the topic, okay, you can if you would like.
No, unbelievable.
I thought it was about how to avoid getting attacked.
Now, we're talking about torture. Because we confused Abu Ghraib with Gitmo.
Okay.
Two completely
I thought it
things.
Was avoiding being attacked.
Two completely different things, right.
If you would like to ask about the
Can
August 6th
change the subject?
Change the subject.
He wasted a minute arguing with him over, are you going to change the subject now? Unbelievable.
That's fine. I just
can I digress to the question,
yes,
how do we avoid getting hit again? One of the funny things, and it is funny because it's such gallows humor, Secretary Rice was asked, what was the memo? And she said it says Al-Qaeda to attack within the United States. It seems like that was a telegraphing to the President of the United States, who's the man chiefly responsible for protecting us from attack. He gets a warning. They're going to hit us here in the United States. What was the meaning of that memo? If it wasn't a warning, that we're going to get hit.
I love that Chris Matthews stood up to these guys and asked this question. He really didn't get an answer, but here's the what posed as an answer.
It was a warning. It was taken seriously, but there was no context to the challenge. Mm. And remember, prior to September 11th, 2001, if you heard that someone had hijacked a plane, you thought it was to negotiate the release of a prisoner or to get monies or go to Cuba or do something else.
Yeah.
It wasn't to use it as a weapon of mass destruction.
Well, and even the pilots, obviously, on the plane thought that, or else they wouldn't have opened the cockpit doors.
But what could we do if we got another memo like that to the president today, and it says Al-Qaeda to attack within the United States? What should he do?
The president would say, I want more granularity to this. I want you to be more specific about what the information you have is.
You know what I want to happen? I want it to be on the front page of the New York Times.
And
because
there
I think
is
every
the snarky, sarcastic...
intelligence we get, we need to have transparency.
Joe Scarborough.
I want to know. In fact, generals in Iraq and Afghanistan.
All right. You know what? I don't even need to hear the rest of that because he just goes on with more of his sarcasm. I guess he thinks he's really funny, Joe Scarborough. Anyway, the video from that segment is on the blog today at radioornot.com. I know it's tough to sit through Joe Scarborough, but you must watch it just to see how slimy he is. All right. And to say bravo, Chris Matthews, because that's pretty much what I went through on the air at that station down here in South Florida on November 5th with Dennis Miller, who totally hates me. And that's fine because the feeling is kind of mutual. All right. On Friday, during the show, I'm trying to figure out what I already spoken with Bob Furtick of Democrats.com, who already has a petition up on the website saying no amnesty for torturers. So I urge you to go there, read the petition, read what they're saying, and if you agree, which I think you will, with their points, sign on to it. No amnesty for torturers, please. And by the way, it looks like as much as Barack Obama is saying that he doesn't want to prosecute the people who were just following orders, or even the higher-ups, on the Sunday talk shows, Rahm Emanuel and Robert Gibb, the president's spokesman, both said, yes, the president has no intention of prosecuting anybody. He just wants to look forward. Well, a couple of people said, not so fast. One of them, Eric Holder, who is the attorney general, who is basically saying it's not up to the president to decide who gets prosecuted. That's a Justice Department call, and we haven't made that call yet. And the other is Senator Dianne Feinstein, who I'm gaining back some respect for her as well, especially in this matter. She heads up the Senate Intelligence Committee, and she says, not so fast, Mr. President. That's not your call to make. And they are going to be holding some hearings and doing some investigating. So, you know what? I have to hope that President Obama is, and I usually hate the word, but I hope that he's playing politics here. I hope that he's saying what he needs to say to keep his 68% approval rating and do what, you know, try to stay above the fray here and let the people who are responsible for deciding whether or not to prosecute those who broke the law here, letting them make the call because it's really not up to him. He's taking the high road, but maybe behind the scenes he's saying, you guys do what you need to do. I'm going to do what I need to do and say, knowing that you're going to do your jobs. So do your jobs. I prefer to think of it in those terms. Maybe it's just me. All right. So during the show on Friday, I was right in the middle of the show. I realized Ray McGovern is a guy who at a town hall meeting somewhere when Donald Rumsfeld was speaking, he stood up and he called Rumsfeld on all his stuff. In fact, Wikipedia has a transcription of the dialogue. It was in May 2006. McGovern attended a speech by then Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld and accused him of lying about Iraq pre-war intelligence during this Q&A session. In fact, McGovern challenged Rumsfeld on several statements that he had been on the record for saying. McGovern asked him,
why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary and that has caused these kinds of casualties? Yeah. Why?
Well, first of all, I haven't lied. I did not lie then. Colin Powell didn't lie. He spent weeks and weeks with the Central Intelligence Agency people and prepared a presentation that I know he believed was accurate. And he presented that to the United Nations. The president spent weeks and weeks with the Central Intelligence people. And he went to the American people and made a presentation. I'm not in the intelligence business. They gave the world their honest opinion. It appears that there were not weapons of mass destruction there.
You said you knew where they were.
I did not. I said I knew where suspect sites were, and we were just...
You said you knew where they were, near Tikrit, near Baghdad, and north, east, south, and west of there. Those are your words.
My words were that... No. Wait a minute. Let him stay 1 second. Just a second.
That is just a short portion of the exchange between the two. I have the entire video from that, along with some fact-checking as done by Keith Olbermann and Countdown, that video posted on the blog today at RadioOrNot.com. But for a little more background on Ray McGovern, in 2003, Ray McGovern, together with other former CIA employees, founded the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, an organization dedicated to analyzing and criticizing the use of intelligence specifically relating to the war in Iraq. So I thought, who better to call on? So we tracked down Ray McGovern, and I got to speak with him Friday when I was guest hosting on Air America. So the first question I asked him is, what was his reaction after reading these torture memos that had just been released the previous day?
Well, Nicole, I thought that, I was past being shocked, past being stunned. Having read the report of the International Committee of the Red Cross that was leaked just 2 weeks ago, I thought that would do it for me. That was bad enough. But reading the sickening details, the guidance, so-called, from our Department of Justice lawyers authorizing CIA people and others to torture people in excruciating detail, it was just, almost made me physically sick.
I was going to say, it is sickening. It's nauseating to see of the way they said how, keeping someone awake for 11 days, is that not torture?
Of course it is, and it's cruel and inhuman treatment as well. It's against international and national law. Most people don't realize that we're not talking only of the Geneva Conventions. We're talking about the War Crimes Act of 1996, passed by predominantly a Republican Congress. So what we have here is two things, as I see it. We have the rather courageous step of publishing these memos without heavy redaction.
Mm-hmm.
Obama met a lot of opposition to that for reasons. But then the bad news, and I consider it very bad news, is the announcement that, these folks, they did these things. They did these heinous things. But they will be neither investigated nor prosecuted.
And not only that, taxpayer dollars will be used to defend them if lawsuits are brought, and if damages are awarded, if we lose the lawsuits, then taxpayer dollars will be used to pay those damages.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. So ridiculous that I'm wondering if we can make out a Machiavellian objective here on the part of Obama. Maybe the calculation in his head was that if Americans care about this kind of thing, and that I'm afraid to say is in some doubt, if they care about this thing and if they read these memos, there will be no stopping the groundswell to move against, in a judicious way, not only these lawyers, these mafia-type lawyers who justify these things, but the people who authorized these things as well as the people who did them. Now, I've been asked for the last couple of weeks, Nicole, who authorized this stuff? You know, mm-hmm. Who authorized it? Well, you know, it's a no-brainer. We have a smoking gun. It's dated February 7, 2002. It's signed in felt tip pen in an inch and a high, inch and a half high signature. It says George W. Bush. It says we no longer have to abide by Geneva. We will treat prisoners, quote, humanely as appropriate and as consistent with military necessity, end quote. Now, that's not Geneva. That's the smoking gun. And as much as I disrespect these lawyers, and as much as I feel so embarrassed that CIA contractors, which is primarily the case, did these kinds of things, I mean, if you have the smoking gun from the commander-in-chief, from the decider, for God's sake, well, why don't people expose that? Because there it is hanging out, and the important thing, Nicole, is his memo is dated February 7, 2002. When did the smart lawyers come up with theirs? August 1, 2002. So can they ex post facto hold the president himself harmless for approving the torture that happened between February and August? I don't. Well, maybe they're smarter lawyers than I think, but I don't think that's possible. So there are all kinds of things that are possible still now. The important thing, in my view, is that the details are out. And it's up to us now. You know, Obama has said from time to time, you got to make me do things. Well, you know, let's Americans make them do it this time. These are heinous things, and we have to create pressure to make the right thing happen.
So how do we do that?
Well, you know, I'm in Texas here. I'm driving to Texas A&M to give a speech at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm mindful of people like people who have said, people have said that, you know, it's nice to write op-eds, it's nice to make speeches, it's nice to have progressive radio, but without action, nothing is going to happen. I've been arrested about four times the last couple of years. Sometimes nonviolent resistance like that can send a message. There are enough of us, you know. Annie Dillard says it's up to us. There never has been any other. And I do think that the situation is different now. It would have been a feckless effort because we all did it, to mount this kind of public demonstration against George Bush. Mm-hmm. I think Obama may have, in the recesses of his heart, some shame at having exempted people, the torturers, from torturing. And once he has pressure from the likes of us, pressure from people who take the care to read these things. It's not, don't read them right before bed. You won't be able to sleep, folks.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Once you read these things, then I think you'll be appropriately angry. And as I've been telling people on this lecture tour, none other than Thomas Aquinas extolled the fact that there is a virtue of anger, and that when there is no anger, when the situation calls for anger, well, that's when evil creeps in, as we saw in Germany in the 30s.
We are speaking with Ray McGovern. He was a CIA analyst for 30 years who writes regularly. In fact, you wrote a piece for counterpunch.org just 2 days ago, the day before these memos were released, but you were talking about the 41-page ICRC report. It's called Anatomy of Bush's Torture Paradigm, W, the Torture Decider. I will link to that from my blog at RadioOrNot.com today. And I do have a link there right now to these four torture memos. So everyone needs to read them. I just got through the first one and was pretty much sickened by it. And that's when I realized that's what today's show had to be about, because we can't stand by and let the government torture in our names and then make us pay for it as well. I mean, that just adds insult to injury. Now, as a CIA analyst,
I never listen to Rush Limbaugh except when I'm traveling between Waco, Texas and College Station, okay?
That's all there is, right?
I just listen to him. Well, God, he's saying, oh, they approved putting insects in with Abu Zubaydah. Oh, isn't awful.
Yeah.
That was a caterpillar, and they didn't even use, oh, man, is many millions, so many millions of Americans are being subjected to.
That's right.
You know? And so we have to, I mean, really, I really applaud you and Air America and all the other folks who are out there applauding. But if this doesn't allow us to get our right-thinking folks in gear and active, you know, I don't know what we'd be waiting for.
And by right-thinking folks, I think he means left-thinking folks. All right. That was former CIA analyst and one of the founders of Veteran Intelligent Professionals for Sanity. Yes. Again, I do encourage you to check out the blog today at radioornot.com, because there is video of that encounter between Ray McGovern and Donald Rumsfeld from May of 2006. All right. Now, while I was listening back to that interview, I went online and checked the news. And gee, go figure. President Barack Obama, just less than an hour ago, said that the United States lost, quote, our moral bearings with gruesome terror suspect interrogations and left the door open to prosecuting Bush administration officials who vouched for their legality. Ha! I'll just read to you from this AP story. At the same time, Obama said the question of whether to bring charges, quote, is going to be more of a decision for the attorney general within the parameters of various laws, and I don't want to prejudge that. How do you like that? The president discussed the continuing issue of terrorism-era interrogation tactics with reporters as he finished an Oval Office meeting with visiting King Abdullah of Jordan. Look at that. Obama had said earlier that he didn't want to see prosecutions of CIA agents and interrogators who took part in waterboarding and other harsh interrogation tactics, so long as they acted within parameters spelled out by government superiors who held that such practices were legal at the time. But the administration's stance on Bush administration lawyers who actually wrote the memos approving these tactics has been less clear. There are a host of very complicated issues involved, Obama said. So perhaps I was right. Maybe he is doing the politically expedient thing, realizing that it's not up to him anyway. So why get in the middle of it all when his Justice Department and Congress can hold their own investigations? To be continued, I'm sure. All right. That's going to do it for today's edition of Radio or Not. Thank you, as always, for listening. And again, please do check out the blog today at radioornot.com. I'm Nicole Sandler, back with you tomorrow, right here, Radio or Not.